Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Hey, 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 Tribers. It's another wonderful Wednesday and a wedding Wednesday. Happy wedding Wednesday to everyone on Tribal Wisdom Radio. And we are continuing our National Entrepreneurship Month, where we're talking with individuals who will help you really streamline and push you towards success in your business. Tonight's guest is Dakeem Duncan of Work Your Passion. He is a man who is passionate about your success, and as a certified coach, Dakeem has worked to help people reach their peak performance in all areas in their lives since 2007. We are so very happy to have him on tonight. He always says that it's his passion to help people. That's what he's put on this earth to do. And he's going to share that with you tonight. It's glad to have passionate people on who will push us toward our goals. He is also the co-founder of the New York African American Chamber of Commerce and the go-to guy to ask questions about certain things. So we're going to bring him on. I'm not going to delay it any longer. And if you have a question to our listeners, you can call in at 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment. And if you're listening via the internet, you can do the same thing. Call in the number, press the number 1. Let's welcome Dakeem. Dakeem, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course, of course. How you doing tonight?
I am doing excellent. You know, it's been a good couple of days. The weather's been excellent here in New York. Mm-hmm. Here there's some cold weather coming. I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm not ready for that yet.
Nobody is.
But it's coming. But, you know, we'll deal with it. We'll take it as it comes. But for right now, things are good.
Okay. I mean, is there anything, I mean, since you are so passionate about stuff, is some of your passion can control the weather at least?
You know what? I haven't reached that level yet. I'm working on it.
Okay.
But I think I may have to I have to travel and go down to like Hawaii or something and kind of, you know, get the feel down there, then bring some of that good warm vibes up here.
Oh, okay. So we can't control the weather, but we can control where we can go get warm weather?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that magical new technology called the airplane, you know, gives us great control over where our weather is, you know?
Well, we are so glad that you are on with us tonight to talk about 10 mistakes that will kill your new business. And although I did introduce you a little bit, I would love for you to tell our listeners who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do.
Okay, well, you know, I pride myself on being a down-to-earth guy. I'm born and raised in New York. I'm a lifelong New Yorker, and I've lived the telltale of New York from my perspective, and it's a great city. I originally started out wanting to be this corporate guy. You know, I went to school for marketing, and I wanted to be this marketing guy, and it was a really good thing. I wanted to work in this, have the big corner office, and somewhere along the way, as it happens a lot in life, I just realized that this wasn't me. You know, it wasn't my passion. And I had to do some searching and some soul searching and try a couple of different things. And I was fortunate enough to have someone suggest that I talk to a coach, a life coach. And the life coach said, you know, we work together, and she helped me through a process of discovering, you know, my true passion and being able to verbalize it, which is actually helping people. I'm very passionate about helping people. You know, I'm one of these guys that'll go out of my way to help someone. You know, if someone's, you know, look like they're lost on the street, I'm the first guy to try and give them directions and help them someplace. And I'm the go-to guy in my friend circle for, you know, wisdom and knowledge, you know, even though they don't take it half the time. But, yeah, so I was I was able to find that passion in myself. And then I say I was extremely fortunate to find a way to monetize that and put that to service to help other people and get paid for it. So back in 2006, I started the journey. I became a certified coach, and I started out doing life coaching, which was, you know, something that, you know, I was trained on. But then I did some further soul searching because, you know, the journey to find ourselves, it's a journey. It's not, you know, something that you can do overnight. And, you know, we're always evolving and changing and growing. Mm-hmm. And I did some more soul searching. It's, you know, I just naturally gravitated to business because that's, you know, where I, you know, that was my background. And then I just, you know, started working with people, and I really enjoy helping people who are in business, who wanted to start a business, who need help figuring out what their business, you know, could be, should be, possibly, mm-hmm. you know, could be. And then also I work with businesses that are already up and running and need help, you know, kind of getting to that next level or getting unstuck. You know, they've plateaued in their sales and their marketing, and they don't know what's the next move to grow. You know, I'm the go-to guy to help those guys out too.
Good. You know, well, first I just want to say thank you for saying that you like to help people with directions if they stop you on the street, so that we can dispel this myth of the mean New Yorker. Let me just get that right out of the way. We got to get that out of the way. New Yorkers are nice people.
Well, you know what? The universe is balanced, and there are more than a few mean New Yorkers, and I just do my part to kind of balance that out.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We do need balance. So tonight's topic of 10 things that will kill your new business, let's get into it. Let's talk about the entrepreneurship mindset. What is that mindset that helps us, or drives us, I should say, to want to be or become an entrepreneur, to move away from the employee mindset into becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, it's a drive. I mean, it's something I find that it's something that's in some people. I mean, there are a lot of people don't like the employee world, the employee, you know, where they have to get up every Monday morning and go to work and do that, you know, do the things that, you know, they have to do to pay the bills. There's a lot of people that don't like that. But not everybody has the mindset to be the boss, to be their own boss. I really believe it's something that has to be in you, and it has to be nurtured and cultivated, and you know, you have to, you know, you have to work at it.
Yeah.
So what I started to do is when I first started working at Passion Coaching, which I didn't really touch on too much, but I founded my company back in 2010, and I decided to call it Work Your Passion because there were so many people, and I was one of them, that was out there working in, you know, areas that they weren't passionate about. So when mm-hmm. I started Work Your Passion, and I started talking to individuals that were trying to start a business, I noticed that a lot of them still kind of had that employee mindset. Mm-hmm. And what I call the employee mindset is, you know, they set limits on themselves. They set, you know, they look at certain things in just a certain particular way. Whereas when you're an entrepreneur and you're an entrepreneur yourself, you know, you kind of have to broaden your horizon and broaden your thinking. And you have to look at problems in a different sort of way. Mm-hmm. And you also have to look at opportunities in a different sort of way. So what I did was I came up with, you know, a process that that I did a couple of workshops and a couple of presentations on, and I call it the action plan. You know, and it's a way to transition from the employee mindset to the entrepreneur mindset. And there's 6 steps, and they're really simple. And if it's okay, I like to go through them. Is that good?
Oh yes, please do.
Okay. Okay, so the first one is you have to assess your current situation. You have to know where you are and, you know, where you're starting out. The first step of any journey is kind of know, you got to know where you are. And here you want to be you want to be blunt. You want to be you want to be extremely critical, and you know you don't want to put any rose-colored glasses on. You want to be extremely as clear as possible, because you're only going to hurt yourself in the long run if you're not honest with yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to look at what's your financial picture. You know, how much time can you invest? You know, are you in debt? How much savings do you have? What's your credit rating? How much, you know, what kind of support you're going to have from friends and family when you start this business? You really want to look at these things, because these things are going to determine how you're going to go about the business, how aggressive you can be in starting that business. Okay.
You know what? You said something interesting. You said you will only hurt yourself down the line if. Finish that. Say that again.
You're only going to hurt yourself down the line if you're not completely honest with yourself at this stage, in the stage of where you're just starting out. Because if you, I encourage people to dream big, but if you dream big but you're not realistic about what your situation is, when you make those steps and you fall flat on your face because you're not you didn't anticipate, you weren't honest with yourself about how much money you're going to need, or how much education how much you're going to have to learn, or how hard it is going to be. So if you're not honest with yourself at this stage, you're going to hurt yourself down the line.
I needed for you to repeat that, because I think it's something that's often overlooked by many startups and entrepreneurs, because we can get very excited about what it is we're planning and what it is we're doing, and people are responding to the small things that we're just posting. So we just kind of jump right in head first without kind of counting the cost.
Right. And in the beginning, you only, as humans, we tend to only hear the things that support what we want to do, So if you're thinking about starting a business, and you're only going to, sometimes you just hear, we only see the good things that can come out of it. We don't see we don't see the negative things, or we don't see the long road in between where we are and where we want to be. We don't see that gap in between. And by going through a process of really figuring out where you are, where you want to go, and the steps in between, It really does help you, and set yourself up for success by doing this stuff and taking this time.
Nice.
So I really encourage anyone that's thinking that they haven't started a business, really get a crystal clear idea of where you are now. Coaches use a thing, and your listeners can Google it. It's called a Wheel of Life, and it's a really simple tool, and they can Google it, and it's really simple on figuring out exactly where you are in different aspects of your life.
The Wheel of Life?
Yeah, it's called the Wheel of Life, and it's a really, really simple tool that a lot of coaches use with their clients to just kind of, you just grade your different sections of your life on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know where you are in relation to how happy you are, how unhappy you are with that area of your life. For example, your career, your money, financial situation, your personal growth, your significant other, your romance, your love life, your health, where you stand with your family and friends, your physical environment. Your physical environment has a lot to do with your mindset as well. So the Wheel of Life helps you identify where you are in a range of a scale of 1 to 10 in those individual areas.
Nice. Let's move on to the next tip.
All right. So after you you assess your current situation, you want to create a vision of success. And that's where I call it a crystal clear, high definition vision of where you want to go. And a lot of people make the mistake of not clearly identifying what success means to them. How many times, Cynthia, have you heard people say, you know what, I want to be rich, or I want to be successful someday, or I want to be a millionaire?
I think I heard that this morning when I was talking to myself. I'm not sure, but I'm sure that I actually said a couple of those things this morning to myself.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you weren't alone. But you know what? And that's great. But it's really going to help you. It's really going to help you if you can identify and crystallize it. I mean, come up with that, really vivid picture. You know, where are you living? Are you going to live in New York? Are you going to move to Hawaii, move down Hawaii where I'm going to be? Or are you going to live in a ranch someplace out in the outback of Australia? Where are you going to live? How much money is enough for you? Do you want to be grossing $250,000 a year? Do you want to be making more than $1 million a year? Whatever it is, make sure you identify and be as specific as possible, because here, this is what's going to motivate you every day. When you have a really clearly identified picture of where you're going, that's going to, when you hit those rough patches, or when you're up at 3:00 in the morning trying to come up with a blog post, or trying to figure out a marketing strategy that's going to get you that next client, having that picture of where you want to go is what's going to help motivate you to keep going.
I like it. Absolutely perfect, because I love shoes, so I'm not sure $250,000 is going to do it for you.
No, pretty not. Yeah, no. No, you're definitely going to have to shoot for the 7 figures.
Okay. All right, then let's go for the next tip. Yeah, because it's shoes. Come on.
Uh-huh. Quick one last tip before we move on. One really good useful tool that I found is a vision board. If you have a vision board, or if you can create a vision board, and for those that don't know, a vision board is just it could be a poster board, it could be something on your wall. You just get a collage of pictures of the identifying the things that you want to have in your life. I like watches, so on my vision board, I have a really nice, sweet Rolex watch that, I'm going to get one day. If you like cars, if you like to travel, put destinations of where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Houses, if you your dream house, put that on your vision board. Put it someplace where you're going to see it every day. Pinterest is actually a good tool for that too. People use Pinterest as a vision board.
I was gonna say we have to plan like a Pinterest party where we get people together and have them make and create vision boards, so, and we can help them do that. So
yeah.
We'll talk about
absolutely.
That later. We'll talk
absolutely.
About it later. Now I know to send you some watches. I get it. See, I thought I was
by
myself with a few things, but now I heard the passion in your voice for the watches. So I got it now.
Okay, good. All right, now Christmas is right around the corner. Just saying.
Oh no.
Okay. The next step is you want to think positive, and this is critical. This one, this is probably the second most important tip of the process, because without positive thinking, you're dead in the water. The old Chinese proverb, he who believes he can or he who believes he can't are usually both right.
Mm-hmm.
And this stage, negative thinking is going to stop you more than anything else. If you don't have confidence in yourself, if you don't have self-confidence in your abilities, it's going to be a hard road to travel. So here you want to think positive. And think positive isn't just saying, hey, I'm going to be a successful entrepreneur. It's more than that. There are these things called limiting beliefs that are beliefs that we've built up over time about ourselves. I'm too old to do this. I'm too stupid. I'm unlucky. All those negative little things that we say to ourselves when no one else can hear, that makes you, hesitate. I'll share one with you that's popular. Public speaking. People think that they can't do public speaking, and I can't tell you how many times I've sat back and seen people that are really amazed themselves when they really just focus on the positives and they get out there and they really do it. So thinking positive is critical at this juncture.
Okay, we're definitely going to post that one up later because it is a biggie. I think we actually had a few people posting stuff like that today where they just felt like they just couldn't do it anymore. They were tired of it, and then a check showed up. And positive thinking returned, magically.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's positive. It's always easiest to be positive when things are going good. The important part is to be positive when things aren't going good, and that's really, really hard. And one of the things that, you know, could help in that is if you have an affirmation, you know, if you say daily affirmations to yourself, you know, something like, you know, every day in every way I'm getting better, or every day in every way I'm walking the path that God has chosen. Something along those lines. You know, it could be something simple as in the morning, in the bathroom mirror in the morning. You know, you just say, "I'm going to be happy today." You repeat it to yourself until and you do it every day, sometimes twice a day, and you do it until you really internalize the positivity is what you're shooting for in this instance here.
Okay, great. I'm gonna work on that because sometimes I think positivity is I'm gonna go upside his head today if he gets on my nerves. And based on what you said, that might need a little tweaking.
I would say that would you might just want to redirect that in a different way. You know, positive
like
might
him.
Be like
I'm gonna work
positive.
On it.
Okay, positive.
I'm gonna work on it.
You know, I would say for you something like, I'm not going to go to jail today because I'm not going to go upside his head. You know, maybe something like that.
That is positive. That is quite positive.
Okay.
Not going to jail is a very positive thing. I do not look good in jailhouse stripes or orange. So,
Okay.
I like that. I'm going to get rid of those limiting beliefs any minute now.
Okay, good. You don't we need you out here doing the work that you're doing because
next step.
Increase your focus. You know, we're a distracted society, and that's an understatement. You know, between TV, internet, cell phones, family, friends, you know, social connections, work. We are a distracted society, and to be, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're trying to be an entrepreneur. You know, every minute counts because, particularly when you're working. You know, if you're still working and you're trying to start the business, or even when if you're in a situation where you have the time to dedicate full time, you can be distracted, and you have to focus. You have to really, really focus. So. You may want to cut out some of those more distracting things that pull your focus away from your business, you know, and I know it's hard, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not a huge television person anymore, but I've consciously pulled that back. I probably watch half the television that I do. You know, social media is a big one, Facebook, Twitter. There are positive benefits, and you have to be on social media for business. But, you know, you don't want to, you know, you may want to avoid the cat videos or the latest, you know, whatever is out there, the latest viral video that's going on, because those are time wasters, and they take time away from your business.
You know, I'm going to ask you about cat videos later because you kind of took me off. I'm just like, what? People sit around watching cat. I'm not going to do it. We'll talk about this later, though.
I'll put myself on the altar here because, you know, I have a thing with YouTube. I call it YouTube University. I will go on YouTube and watch a video to learn something. I'm a visual learner. But every so often, I'll start out learning something, and then 4 hours later, I'm watching a cat video for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know how I got there, what the process was, you know, what the role was there, but sometimes it just happens that way. So I have to even keep that in check for myself.
Oh, wow. It just happens. You know, you just, you know, you turned around and there it was, the cat video.
And there it was. And I don't even like cats.
You know what? We're going to move on to your next point because I'm, you know, you don't like cats, but you watch cat videos.
Yeah, they're funny.
All right. I'm not going to judge. I refuse to judge you right now.
That, you know what? I appreciate that. That's big of you. next up, organize your resources. Here you want to, you know, you want to get the things that's going to help you be successful. You want to get, you want to learn what those are. There are a ton of things out there that can, organizations, businesses, individuals that can help you. And we're looking, you know, I'm talking about organizations like SCORE or the SBA, with the Small Business Association, and SCORE is a service corporation of retired executives, which offer free advice and resources to small businesses. Mm-hmm. School, you know, if you need to learn new skills, there are a number of online universities that offer courses for free where you can, you know, if you need to learn a new skill like accounting or business planning or business strategy, there are places that you can do that for free. And there are also the places you can do it for, you know, if you pay, like University of Phoenix and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, you know, the people, you know, networking. It's very important to have your network in place. So you go out places like, you know, the Business Networking International, BNI, or the Chamber of Commerce, your meetup.com. Those places you can go to get in contact and meet and, you know, and build relationships with people that are going to help your business down the road.
That is very important. I have to be honest. I'm putting myself on the altar now and say that was something that I did not practice because I tend to be an introvert. So I prefer to be inside and working and just working and seeing that things are being completed. And just this year, I became a little more active in groups, actually going out and meeting and networking with people. And it is absolutely true. It really helps my business so much. It helped my business exponentially. I'm just going to go ahead and co-sign on that getting out, whether it's education, whether it's networking, whatever it is. Talking with people, especially people who are also entrepreneurs who understand your journey and getting advice from them, it really is a help.
It is. It definitely is. And that's I agree with you. That's one of the things that I kind of lagged behind in my business was the going out and getting involved with networking. And once I did it, I saw the benefits almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, next. Let's go on to the next one.
And then the last step in this process is it's just you have to get up, get out, and go make it happen. And this one is the most critical one. I said thinking positive is the second most important. This one is probably the most important because if you don't take action, nothing is going to happen. If you don't get up, if you don't start that business, if you don't just say, you know what, it may not be perfect, but I'm going to start. I may fail or I may trip up, but I'll learn from it and I'll keep going. If you don't make the commitment to get up and do and take that step and make that action step, nothing is ever going to change. You're going to see in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the line, you're still going to be unhappy. You're still going to be in the same place. And wishing that you had that time back to actually do something. It may not be too late back then, but it's better if you start now. So the final piece in the transitioning into getting into the entrepreneurial mindset, entrepreneurs are about action. They're the ones that set themselves apart by taking the action that the employees don't take and they remain employees.
So right there is the true difference between the mindset of an employee and an entrepreneur.
It is. It is very critical.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. After we come back from the break, if you would like to ask Dr. Kim any questions, if you have a comment for what he's teaching us tonight, please feel free to give us a call, 347-996-3160. Be sure to press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment, and we will be right back.
Bridal Tribe Digital Magazine is devoted to love. If you're getting married, Bridal Tribe offers a wealth of fresh, fun, and timely information from wedding hair, makeup, and style tips to cakes, gowns, and more. We've got stunning photography, engaging editorials, and unique wedding tips just for you. Whether you are on the computer or on the go, subscribe and download your digital copy today on BridalTribe.com.
We are back with our 10 Mistakes That Will Kill Your New Business. We're talking with Dr. Kim Duncan of Work Your Passion, and he is giving us some excellent, wonderful tips on changing your mindset from employee to entrepreneur. Some being just as an entrepreneur, you look at problems and opportunities in a different way. The first step to any journey is to know where you are. You will only hurt yourself down the line if you're not completely honest with yourself at this time. He gave us an excellent resource to look at the Wheel of Life. Google the Wheel of Life and fill it out and see where you are in each portion of your life. And we even talked a little bit about creating a vision board. I just like those particular tips. And now we're just going to move forward and really discuss the 10 mistakes that will kill your new business. So, Kim, I read that piece on your blog, and I thought it was an excellent piece. And I wanted you to talk about that because everything that you put in that post is so important to know. A lot of people overlook different things like that. So can you take us through that post?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So that post came out of I was doing some research, and I was trying to put together a workshop. And I was coming across a lot of individuals that, you know, that were having difficulties in their business, and their businesses were failing, and I was, you know, looking for something that I could put together to kind of help them, you know, before they got into trouble. So I came up with a list. It's ten things, and really it's something to kind of help people avoid the common mistakes that businesses make when they're starting out, because that's the critical. When you're setting the foundation and you're first starting out, those what you do in those beginning months and years actually is going to set the tone for your business. So the first thing is if you have a bad concept, you know, and it really should go without saying that if your initial idea is bad, then no good is going to come from it. You want your concept to be practical. You want your concept to have a good target market that wants and needs your product or service. And it's more important, side note, it's more important if your target market wants your service rather than needs your service, because as consumers, we go for what we want well before we go for what we need. So it's important to target needs and wants, but if you got to go lean towards one or the other, you want to go for somebody wants, because they'll go for that before something that they need. And then you want to make sure that your target market is big enough so that you can sell your product or service at a profit. Okay.
Go on.
Next is poor planning. You know, you'll be amazed at the number of businesses that have started out without a business plan. And I'm not going to say that it has to be a 30-page plan, you know, single space with graphs and charts and things that you may have done, you know, in school or something like that. Those days are over. You don't really have to have, you know, unless you're going to look for investors, then yeah. If your business is something that's going to, you're looking for funding from a bank or trying to get investors, then yeah, you may have to have that well thought out and well planned business plan, But if it's something like if you're just starting out, like a graphic designer or a website planner, event planner or something like that, you know, you can have a simple 3-4 page statement, but it needs something that has to be written down so that you can refer to, and something that you can use as a guidepost for your business. Without that, you know, you're really just, you know, kind of winging it, and that never works out for anybody.
No, winging it does not.
Yeah, that's not a strategy. But you'd be surprised. I come across a lot of people that do wing it. No research. That's another thing that, you know, I'm amazed at that individuals say that, oh, I think you know, this is going to be a good business. Okay, well, what do you base that on? What's your research? What is the research of? And, you know, it's their research is something lacking, you know. You want to look before you leap. You know, you want to have some idea of what you're getting into. What is the competition in that, you know, what's the competition like in that area? What's the potential, what's the size of your target market? You know, are there enough customers? You know, do they want it? Is there something that is already out there that you know, is probably selling for cheaper? You know, so you got to look at these things. You got to do these research. And those resources that I mentioned earlier, the SCORE and the SBA and, you know, even the internet, you can find that information. It's so readily and easily available that it's a crime not to do any kind of research before you get started. Next, you know, you underestimate how much money you need. And this is a big one. Because
yes.
Obviously, you know, money is the lifeblood of anything. You know, without money, you're just dead in the water. You're not moving. You're not doing anything. And it's amazing, you know. I can say from personal experience, I even was guilty of this to a certain degree, because I thought I had a concept that since I was pretty much a one man show, for lack of a better term, my business, it's just me basically. I thought that I could bootstrap and do certain things myself because I have the inclination, but I quickly discovered that, you know, it's a lot better for me to pay somebody to have my logo or design certain things rather than my poor sketchy, you know, attempt at a logo or whatever. I'll show you my first logo and you're gonna laugh. You're gonna think, oh wow, your son drew that. That's nice.
That's going to be a game of poker for the both of us. Because you'll put yours on the table, I'll put mine on the table. Because my graphic designer looked at it and he was like, who did this? And I was like, well, I thought it looked great. You know, I was in PowerPoint and I loved how it looked. And he was like, yeah, never let that happen again. You know, and I felt hurt. I felt like I needed Band-Aids all over my face and everything. And
uh-huh.
You know, but I understood the value once he created something and showed it to me. I totally understand how you want something of value to represent your business so that you can attract the proper clientele, vendors, advertising agents, everything. It's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you're going to need money to do those things. You're going to need money, you know, if you're going to run a decent advertising campaign. Yeah, you can run a Facebook ad for $5 a day, and you may hit 20 people, you know, or 30 people, depending upon your target market. But, and if you run it, or if you're only going to run that for a couple of days, you're really not going to make any, you know, any impact.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, you know, really invest some money in your advertising and possibly your PR, some other things. So I say all this to say, you know, to get back on point, you know, if you don't really have a clear idea of how much money you're going to need or anticipate needing, that's a surefire way of cutting your business off at the knees. So don't underestimate how much money you're going to need. Next is a lack of focus. And this one is kind of interesting because entrepreneurs by our very nature, particularly if you're a solo entrepreneur, you have to wear many different hats. You know, in the morning, I'm the customer service. in the afternoon, I'm doing my accounting, and in the evening is when I'm doing, you know, my marketing and, you know, all that stuff. And in between the, and in between those activities, I'm talking to clients and planning out things. So I'm wearing many different hats. But when I say have a lack of focus, I'm talking about your business and how you go about it. You know, what's your target market? What's your niche? What's your thing? What are you doing? Everything that I do is related to me helping customers, helping my clients, and helping people, even people that aren't my clients, helping people to start and grow businesses. So all of my business activities is centered on that. So I'm very focused in that area. Yeah, my day-to-day activities, I may be, you know, running around doing different things, but it's all toward that certain goal. I see a lot of, I see some people making the mistake of, you know, oh, I'm doing this, you know, I'm doing this business, and, you know, I'm over here, and I'm doing this over there, and you don't know, you know, where, you know, you know where they are, what they're doing, and, you know, it's kind of hard to take someone serious if you particularly really want to do business with someone if, you know, they're doing so many different things and they're so all over the place that you can't, well, how much time, you know, particularly from a client perspective, how much time are you going to be able to give to your client if you have, you know, all these other things on your plate? So that's, you know, you want to be focused and have a very clear focus on what you want to do and who you want to do it for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one is hiring the wrong people. Now, again, I'm a solo person. I don't really hire people. I don't really have employees at this stage in my business. As I grow, I may bring on people, but for right now, I'm pretty much a one man show. I do outsource some things, but for those folks that have to or want to have a business, you know, that they need to hire people, it's critical
yeah.
that you have the right employees with you, the right people on your team, because if you have employees that aren't reliable, that's going to cost you money. If you're an event planner or a caterer, and your staff that you need to help set up that place, they aren't reliable, that's going to cost you money. That's going to cost mm-hmm. you clients, and eventually, that's going to cost you your business.
Yes.
You know, so choosing the wrong people to have on your team can have a devastating effect on your new business.
You know, I can honestly say that team building is one of the toughest parts of being an entrepreneur. I can't even think of a situation where it has completely worked out, because I would love to say, oh, you know, all the friends that I grew up with, I would love for us to be in business together. But you don't know how things will turn out. There are so many people who are talented in what they do, but you're unable to work together because of personality differences. So this particular point definitely hits home with me, because team building has been the hardest thing when it comes to truly, you know, building my business and having more peace of mind for the things that I need to get done. I can't like turn away and go do something else and focus on anything else until this part right here is where it needs to be.
Right, exactly. And there's so many people find themselves in that situation. And, you know, I can understand why they get into that situation, because when you're starting out, you know, you want to have people that, you know, hey, if you have friends or family, you want to try and help them, or you think it's be good. And, you know, they're excited about it in the beginning, and, oh, yeah, I can help you, and, you know, we can do this, and we can do this. Unless they share your passion for the business, they're not going to work as hard as you're going to work.
Exactly.
And, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes, you know, they're going to leave you in the lurch. Or if you hire someone on your team that doesn't have the right temperament for the business that you're working with, you know, if you're an event planner or someone or a caterer or someone that has to deal with the public, and you have someone on your team that isn't a good people person,
mm-hmm.
that's not a good fit. That's not a good look. It ain't going to work for you.
So, like, you mean like Pookie and them and Mama and them?
Oh, Lord, Pookie and them. Let Pookie and them stay where Pookie and them is at, you know. Because Pookie and them will have you, you know, back, you know, they'll leave you in a bad sense, you know. I know somebody named Pookie, and if they listen, and they're gonna be like, oh, where are you talking about me like that? No, Pookie, I'm not talking about you particularly.
Don't get in trouble with your people, Doug Kim. You know, take it easy. Take it easy. All right. So hiring the wrong people is a major league mistake. Let's, you know, I think at one point I'm going to have another show that really talks about that in depth on how to hire the right people, you know, how to know your own personality, how it works with other personalities, how to put them in particular departments in your business. I think that's so important to know. So I'm going to have a totally separate show about choosing and hiring the right people for your business. What was your next point?
Next point would be next all of your eggs in one basket. And, you know, sometimes in the beginning you only have that one basket or you only have a few eggs when you're first starting out. But successful business owners, you know, they don't just avoid risk. It's a risky thing to just put everything in one basket. Successful business owners, they don't avoid the risk. They manage it. They manage risk well. And what they do is they try to diversify. And in a very, you know, small scale, diversification could simply mean you don't rely on just one or two or a few customers. You really go out and try to get as many customers as you can to support your business. You want to grow your business. If you are, again, I go back to say, let's say, a graphic designer or a logo designer, you know, in that situation, you know, you need to continually bring in new business. If you're in a situation where you have some suppliers, where you're buying stuff, you know, if you're a restaurant, and you're buying your supplies from one supplier or two suppliers only, and those suppliers pretty much have power over you. So you want to, in any situation, you want to keep an eye to say, okay, what's my risk here if this person or this customer, my biggest customer, up and disappears? What's my risk? Can my business survive? And if the answer to that question is no, then you have your eggs on that one basket. You need to get those eggs and get some more baskets to spread them out, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, that can have a devastating effect on your business as well.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Yeah. I just all of a sudden had visions of, like, eggs and baskets in my head, and it tickled me, you know, pay me no attention.
And it's not even Easter yet. So say that.
No, it's not. What's the next point? Let's go on to the next point.
Next point is giving up too soon, and this one is a big one. Many people give up inches from the goal line, and, you know, that's a football reference. But, you know, it's a tough road. I'm sure you can sympathize. Being your own boss, being out here on your own, it's tough. And there are days when you're going to have a crisis of confidence. But if you give up too soon, you're going to miss out on the payoff, the return on your investment. You're investing a lot of money, a lot of sweat equity, a lot of time right now, and the payoff is there. You know, you have to stay dedicated. You have to stay focused. You have to stay flexible and moving towards your goal. But there's some people they're just right at that doorstep. They're getting ready to knock on that door, and then they just say, you know what, it's too hard. It's too much.
It is.
You know?
It is. And I can honestly say that happens often. I can say that almost happens every couple of weeks with me, where I'm grateful for my accountability partners that talk me off the ledge. You know, sometimes it's a little rough. You know, they're not nice about it. They do carry, like, whips, chains, and bats and things to say, you think you're going back, but, you know, you're not going to look the same if you do. You know, don't try us. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's just not so bad after all. I'm just going to push a little further. And I thank you. Don't hit me with that bat.
It sounds like your accountability partners is Pookie in them.
Listen, don't say it. Don't talk about them.
Okay.
You're gonna call up Pookie and then it's gonna be problems for me. So no, we won't talk about Pookie and him in this instance. But I am definitely grateful for them because they come to my rescue when I feel like there's overwhelmed or there's something that I'm not handling well, or I'm just like, I just cannot handle this part anymore. You know, they come up and say, all right, listen, what is so hard about this part right here? What part is missing? What's missing? Mm-hmm. And how can we help you connect the dots to get this done? So you are absolutely right. When it comes to feeling like you want to give up, it can happen because being an entrepreneur is not easy, but you should definitely get some great accountability partners who will step in and talk you off that ledge.
Absolutely. And as a coach, that's one of my primary responsibilities is to help my clients stay accountable to their vision and to their goals. And, you know, it's something that is a critical thing. And when I see a client that's struggling, you know, the best thing that I can say to them is to just say, you know what, let's take a break, let's stop, let's reevaluate everything, let's look at it from all different aspects, and let's see, you know, how bad is it? You know, it's probably not as bad as you think it is. And then once you get that client to kind of like, you know, look at it from that perspective, then we can move towards, you know, getting them to where they need to be. But it's all about talking them off that ledge sometimes, you know, and you need that voice to talk you off that ledge.
Yes. Know? Yes. Go on. Just keep going because this is
cool.
Really great stuff.
Number nine, I think it is a system. You want to have a system in place for measuring your performance. Actually, I think the way I put it in the article was the mistake that's going to kill your business if you don't have a system in place for measuring your performance.
Yeah.
You need to have a clear understanding of how the business is performing on all your key areas. You know, what's your client, you know, how much money are you bringing in? What's your account? What's your receivables? What's your, you know, how much money do you owe? How much product do you have on hand, or how many orders can you fulfill realistically? These in each business is different. The key areas are different for each business. You know, you're in business, you're going to find those out. But if you don't have a system in place for analyzing them and measuring your performance on a consistent basis, and I stress consistent, because some people will do it, you know, they'll do it, you know, a couple of days a week, then they won't do it. No, you need to do this consistently. You know, some of the best people, business owners I know, every day the first thing they look at before they open up an email or before they return a voicemail, they look at their performance from the day before. So that they know how their business is performing, and they do it consistently. So they know they're always on top of their numbers, and thereby they're always on top of their game and their business. And that's something that, you know, some of the unsuccessful businesses don't do consistently.
Mm-hmm. That is good to know. So you want to definitely have a routine, something that you are consistently measuring. And like you said, the word is consistent. It's all about being consistent.
Consistency is the key, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that brings us to the last one, which is, and this kind of ties into something I think we talked about earlier in the hour, is, you know, lack of believing in yourself. And then here, this is where those limiting beliefs that I talked about earlier come into play. This is your business. It's your idea. This is, you know, your passion, you know. This is your blood and sweat that you're pouring out trying to make this business work. And if you don't believe in it, if you don't think that you're going to be successful, no one else is. Mm-hmm. And no one is going to work. No one should be working harder in your business than you. And in order to give it your full effort, you have to believe in yourself. Because when you have those doubts and you allow, and most importantly, I should say, let me rephrase that, everyone has doubts. Every single day I have doubts about the things that I do. But I've trained myself to not listen to my doubts. Mm-hmm. I've trained myself to act in spite of the doubts that I have. And that's the critical difference. You know, you have to believe that, you know, even though you may have the doubts and fears, that you're going to be able to perform in spite of those doubts and fears.
Yes, yes. Those are some excellent points for entrepreneurs. If you're listening, if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening to this talk, I'm sure that you're getting a lot out of it, because I know that I am. Dr. Kim, why don't you tell everyone where we can find you on Facebook, on Twitter, your website. If they want to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
Okay, well, my website my company is Work Your Passion Coaching, and the website is www.workyourpassion.net. That's where I can be reached, you know, where they can find out all my information about the products that I offer. They can read about, you know, more about, you know, what I do and how I do it. And there's a couple of free downloads on there to help them. I have some resources, free resources on there to help, you know, startups and businesses that are already in trouble.
Yes,
on Facebook, you can find me at my Facebook page is Work Your Passion. So you can go to facebook.com/workyourpassion. And my Twitter handle is at Work Your Passion. Everything is focused on working your passion, so it's Work Your Passion.
Wait, what was it again? Was it Work Your Passion?
Work Your Passion. I think that's it. You know, okay. You know what the Brandon people say, you know, you got to say it three times. So Work Your Passion, Work Your Passion, Work Your Passion.
That's right. Consistency, consistency, consistency. I guess, you know, we'll keep it up.
And if anyone ever wants to shoot me an email, I can take an email at my first name, Dakim, Dakim, at workyourpassion.net.
Excellent, excellent. Let's be certain to put all that information in the event tonight. And I definitely want to invite people to like your page, these wonderful tips that you're giving. I'm guessing that you go ahead and you post a few tips daily on your Facebook page. Excellent, excellent. Guys, you've heard it. You've heard it all. If you enjoyed this, you can listen to it again on demand. We're definitely going to invite you back to do another show with us at another time when you know, when you check your calendar from Mama and them and Pookie and them, and you know, and find a little time for us. Let me know when we can do this again. And we said, I think we have to get together and do a Twitter chat, right?
Yeah, we're supposed to do a couple of things. We're supposed to do a Twitter chat. We're supposed to do a meetup. We're gonna be doing a lot of them. And then you gonna do a Pinterest party.
Yes.
And,
well, we got to do that. Yeah. So we definitely got to do that so we can get people creating and making their vision board. So look for that in the future. We will be doing more things for the entrepreneurs to stay abreast of what's happening in this journey called business. Join us next week with M. Shannon Hernandez on Why Content is King. We're going to be discussing content, content creation, and all things content. So if you have a blog, if you have a website, whatever media you might be using to engage your customers, you don't want to miss this show. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. We will be posting that information very soon, during the week, during the weekend. As you know, we are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun, all things family, including health, finance, everything. This is your place to get that information. Join us again, and we are devoted to love.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show,